As the Boston Public Schools are set to open with remote-only learning, and Boston will soon enter its 8th month living with COVID-19, Boston Mayor Marty Walsh joins us for our monthly check-in. Mayor Walsh, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. And that piece right before this was awesome. I remember those commercials on TV. It was amazing. And also, they talked about the Italian family, but I think that was a lot of families used to have dinner around 5 o'clock every day, and Sunday was the big meal, and everyone ate together, and times have definitely changed in a lot of households. But I think COVID have brought some of that family life back. I'm noticing a lot more people eating dinner together and stuff during the COVID crisis.
We've been hearing a lot about that, Mayor Walsh, actually, just this idea that we're back in the kitchen, we're preparing meals as a family, we're sitting back down together. Was pasta at any point a staple in your childhood household or your household growing up?
I grew up in an Irish household, so there was meat and potatoes almost every night, but my mother would make spaghetti for us, once in a while. It was probably Prince spaghetti and ragu sauce. That was our gravy, but it was always a special treat in my house. And then, as we got older, we got a chance to really taste real authentic Italian food. And I love my mother and her cooking, but having the authentic stuff was amazing.
It's nice to have some diversity in that, isn't it?
Yeah, it really was, But anyway, thank you. I just wanted to just throw that in there.
Oh, no, that's great. And I do want to invite our listeners to join this conversation, too. If you live or work in Boston and have a question for Mayor Walsh, call us at 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or you can tweet us at Radio Boston. You talked about the fact, Mayor Walsh, that in COVID-19, people are back in the kitchen. They're eating more together. As I was thinking about today, it struck me we're almost through 7 months now since Boston saw its first positive test. September will be the 8th month. And I wanted to start just by asking you, that's a long time. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's been a lot wearing on a lot of people, I think, including, myself. As I said before on the show, I live my life a day at a time. But what we find is, the decision we had to make 7-8 months ago, shutting things down, it was quick, and we had to. And as we think about opening up now with the world of COVID still being here, it's really complicated, whether it's work or restaurants or schools. Probably the biggest decision that we have to make as a city, as a society, as a culture, how do we open schools? How do we do it phased in? How do we make sure that our students, our children, our parents, our teachers, and everyone's safe? So it's really complicated as we move forward here.
How are you feeling about how the city's sort of rode through, I know that's probably not the right word, survived through these first 7 months? Are there any specific moments or policies or decisions that you made that you feel really stand out as having been successful or effective so far?
Well, I think to date, our positive rate, our 7-day positive rate as of the 15th was 2.8% of all tests positive. We're testing about 1,800 people a day. We are right now, we are kind of in control moving forward as a city. We're seeing what's happening around the country and other cities around the country. And really, if we continue to do what we've been doing for the last 7 or 8 months, washing hands, physical distancing, wearing masks and things like that, and look out for each other, we can ride through this fall in a pretty good place. I think that, what jumps out at me the most in the last several months was, building a hospital in 5 days over at the convention center. I think that was really something that jumps out at me. I think it was, watching people wear masks and moving forward. And then on top of it all, George Floyd was killed. If people weren't stressed, there wasn't enough stress, then George Floyd got killed. And trying to understand, trying to make something out of that and having those dialogues and conversations. So it's been a very... 2020 has been one of those years that, we'll look back on in history. And I hope it's a turning point for our country. I hope it's a turning point that we're better prepared medically. We're better prepared, for whatever comes our way. And also around systemic racism that we finally, as a country, finally made the decision to address systemic racism from coast to coast, and not just in certain areas. And I've made it clear that we're addressing it in Boston and going to continue to work, but really addressing it coast to coast. So The year still has more time to go, but people are strong and people are resilient, and we just have to continue to deliver day at a time.
You know, the word unprecedented has always gotten thrown around, I think probably a little too loosely, but this happens to be a case where you were the mayor of a city during an unprecedented time. Are there any decisions you made where you think, gosh, if I knew then what I know now, I would have done it differently?
I think, you know, we shut down fairly quickly, but I think we probably would have been better served if we had better direction from Washington in January to shut things down in January. Now, COVID wasn't here, really. Our first case of COVID wasn't until February, but we knew it was coming. And if we took the precautions as a country, now not everyone's going to do that, obviously, because we're seeing states still resist it to some degree, COVID. But if we took those steps, we'd be in a stronger position than we are right now. When you think about 6 million cases of COVID in the United States of America, 177,000 Americans have died. You know, think that's a big number. And when you think about if we had, as a country, got ahead of this earlier, that those numbers potentially look very different. In Massachusetts, you know, we have nearly 9,000 people have lost their life. In Boston, 750 people. So, I mean, those decisions, if we got to them earlier, and you can't really blame any one person, but clearly on a national level, we were not prepared for this at all. And in that case, it didn't filter down to the states either.
So you talked a couple of minutes ago, Mayor Walsh, about one of the hardest things has been figuring out how to handle school reopening, and I do want to talk about that. We've had so many voices here on Radio Boston over the last couple of weeks, and you know, strong voices that we're doing it too slowly, strong voices that we're doing it too quickly, strong voices that we can go back in person, strong voices that we can't. Boston, as of Friday, is now set to start fully remote with a staggered hybrid entry plan for October and November. How are you feeling about that decision, and do you feel that now that is the right call?
Well, I mean, for today, I mean, and I say that because we're basing it on science and we're basing it on data. The Boston Public Schools extended the timeline for the phase reopening so that we could assess the health data between phases, allow parents and families to have choice, so it's an opt-in situation for the different grade configurations. We need to make sure that we meet the needs of our most vulnerable students and provide safety for everyone, so we're working through that process. We're taking a very gradual measures approach because it's the right thing to do to ensure families feel confident in sending their kids back to school if they choose, and that teachers and staff feel secure in their positions, because there's a lot of different feeling here. We want to make sure that we also recommit ourselves to addressing achievement gaps. And that's one of the things that I'm really concerned about by not having in-classroom learning is the growing achievement gap, particularly for our Black students and Latino students. So, so we think about, as we move forward on all these things, these have been difficult decisions. The phase reopening, just real quickly for people that are listening, Tuesday, September 8th, teachers will report not necessarily to school, but they're going to begin preparation for teaching in a hybrid model in their classroom. September 21st, which is a month from about a month from today, we're going to have all students are going to begin remote learning. On October 1st, the option of an opt-in hybrid learning for students with the highest needs. October 15th, the opt-in for students, the younger students, for K0, K1, K2, October 22nd, opt-in for grades 1 to 3, November 5th, opt-in grades 4 to 8, and November 16th, opt-in 9-12. Now, in saying all that, we're able to move these phases back if we have to. We're not going to move them up. This is the start date. But if we see our number go to 4% positive rate for testing or anything above that, we will not start school. So we'll just push all of those dates down a week or 2 weeks, whatever it might be. So we're at 2.8 last week. We haven't gotten this week's number yet. I'll have them the next day or so. The week before, we're at 2.6. The week before, we're at 2.8. So we've been staying in the area of 1.9 to 2.8% positive rate for the last, say, 10 weeks here in Boston.
How do you talk to parents who say, I can't not know, but because of my job, because of childcare, because of home? I imagine there are a lot of parents who are both wanting it to be based on the science, but also feeling like, I got to know what's going to happen with my kids so I can plan.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, the one thing that we want to make sure is I want to make sure we're making sure the schools are prepared. We're doing a lot of work. I'll get into that in a second, but we're making sure that the school, the classrooms are prepared for a safe place. So the only people that will be allowed into a school are teachers and children and staff in that school. So we want to make sure that it's a safe environment for them. Every school is going to have, we're purchasing foggers to mist the schools in the district. Those foggers are the, you see them on TV, people spraying down and killing any potential infections. We've ordered 4,700 pieces of plexiglass. We have...
Mayor Ross, just because you brought up foggers, how often will those be used?
They'll be using them probably every day in the common areas. And then the way school would be, we have Group A, Group B. Group A will be Monday, Tuesday. Group B will be Thursday, Friday. So every Wednesday, Tuesday night, Wednesday, will be a deep clean in the building because no one will be in the building. And then over the weekend, we'll be doing the same thing in the building. Putting signage, PPE and signage and directional signs in the school. So kids won't be able to use the gyms and they won't be in the cafeterias and things like that. So we're going to be really limiting where they go. It's going to be mostly the classroom.
And what do you make of the state's recommendation that's recently come out that they want teachers to teach from inside the classroom, even if all the students are connecting and learning remotely?
Well, that's one of the things that we're working on now. We were going to do that in Boston, and that's why I think it's really important for us starting. I think the week of I think it's like the 12th or 13th, whatever day it is. Teachers are going to be in the classroom remotely. I mean, they're going to be in the classroom physically and learning the technology that we have so that when kids start the 21st, we're anticipating our teachers to be in the classroom. But again, we have to make sure everything's safe. The teachers have to feel safe. I mean, our teachers are parents. Our teachers are caregivers to their elders. Our teachers are concerned about their own public health as well. So we're working through all that right now.
Let's go to the phones, Mayor Walsh, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Matthew from Brighton. Matthew, you're on the line with Mayor Marty Walsh.
Hi. Hey, thanks for taking the time, and thank you, Mr. Mayor, for having me.
You're welcome.
Yep, my question is about the rental market in Boston. I was wondering if the mayor's office has a better idea of a looming eviction crisis here once the rental moratorium is lifted, and if there's a plan to deal with that.
Yeah, no, great question. First and foremost, we're hopeful that we've put a lot of programs out there for rental relief here in the city, trying to have people access rental relief if they need it. We've created a fund, I believe it's a $6 million fund. People have accessed it so far to the tune of about $2 million fund. These are folks that are not eligible for any type of unemployment benefit, or then they're not bringing any income in. I also have, you know, one of the biggest concerns I have with the rental eviction that's looming is that most people won't have the ability to have counsel with them in court. And I have a piece of legislation at the State House that I was hoping to get through there, hasn't moved yet, that would allow people to have representation in court. A lot of what happens is that, you know, the landlord has representation, the tenant doesn't, and they're in front of a judge or a clerk magistrate, and not having that ability to have representation really, really makes it difficult. So we're working trying to figure that piece out, and then also continue to work with our landlords that, you know, once the eviction moratorium is lifted, that there's not this large exodus. I'm asking landlords to work with their tenants to make sure that if they have arrearages, that they set them up on some type of payment plan, because we don't want to see all these folks being evicted out of houses. We don't have a number yet. There's been a lot of talk about it, but we don't have a number of what that would be potentially of potential evictions in the city.
Let's take another call here, 800-423-8255. We've got Jared on the line from the South End. Jared, you're on with Mayor Marty Walsh.
Hi, Mayor Walsh. My name is Jared. I want to commend you for your commitment to ending systemic racism in the city. And also, I'm a lifelong South End resident, and I benefited for decades from the Harry Tubman House and its own United South End Settlements from the various programs there. I'm just wondering, would you support USIS to sell the Harry Tubman House to another nonprofit to keep it for, say, 100% community use rather than having it demolished soon for luxury condos?
It's already sold. We can't do anything about that right now. It's already sold. And I think that the company that bought it, they're working with USIS and they're working with other organizations to keep a presence of nonprofits there.
Let's take one more call, Mayor Walsh. We've got Cheryl on the line. Cheryl's calling from I-93. Cheryl, you're on with the mayor.
Hi there. My question is why you don't close Newberry Street to vehicles and allow restaurants to expand seating out into the sidewalks and the streets?
Great question. Thank you for that. I'm not sure if they requested it. I'll look into that. I know we did it on Hanover Street. At least we didn't shut down traffic, but we have traffic going down the middle. I'm not sure if that was requested, but that certainly would be open to the idea of doing that, or at least keeping a lane open for traffic and having people there. But that's the first that's brought it to my attention. I'll look into it. Great question, though.
So, Mayor Walsh, let's talk a little bit more about schools, but here I'd like to talk about universities. Colleges and universities are in the middle of reopening. How are you feeling about the plans that universities like a BU, who holds the license for WBUR, or Northeastern have in place? And what are you watching most closely as tens of thousands of students come back to the city?
Well, first and foremost, I think we have more college students per capita than any other city in America. Students come from all across the country here, and it's certainly one of our strengths. But I'm concerned about students returning to Boston, especially from areas around the country where COVID cases are high. We've talked to them about the colleges, about their density on campus. We're working with them on plans on move-in days. We're helping them with their housing options to reduce density using hotels. We've asked every college university in the city to submit their testing and quarantine plans to the Boston Public Health Commission for review. And we've received the plans from nearly every single school. I'll give one example. Boston University has posted all of their testing online, so it's live. So you'll see how many tests they've – I think they've done over 12,000 tests and maybe a handful of positive cases. So they have good plans for testing. But we really got to make – we have to make sure when these students come into Boston – that they're tested frequently, and we have to make sure that there's a policy, not just for on-campus housing, but for students that live off-campus.
So, Mayor Walsh, I want to turn to another issue, one that's emerging now. The city's planning a project in Roxbury to improve Milnea-Cass Boulevard, dealing with traffic, making it safer for pedestrians and cyclists. But part of that plan means taking down a number of mature trees, which has advocates concerned. I want to ask you to tell us a bit about the project and ask you to respond to concerns over the negative environmental impacts of taking out mature tree cover in an area with a lot of asphalt and a lot of heat.
No, thank you. The top priority of this project is to improve road safety. This is a corridor that has more crashes on it than almost any other street in the city that we need to address. The process redesign, we are looking at building interventions against floods, improving street walkways and adding bike lanes, adding trees to preserve the expanded tree canopy. Currently, there are 125 trees out there. 25 of them, if I understand, are dead. We're going to be adding 205 trees. I might be wrong on that number, but we want to resolve resolving the design conflict between the priorities has been a focus of all the work we've done over the last several years. Off of the story today, I'm going to be convening a meeting here with the city team to determine how we can get to an outcome that prioritizes the safety that I just talked about, but also addresses the environmental concerns that have been raised before we advance on the project. So it's, this has been this is a 10-year process, by the way. This project's been going on before I became the mayor of Boston. It's all lined up now with the funding, but I'm going to have a meeting this week to talk about, see if there's what we can do here.
So just two things. I believe the reporting that I've read said it's about 140 trees that are in plan
to
be replaced.
Yeah, I'm probably wrong. Yeah, sorry, 140 trees.
And I'm hearing from your Mayor Walsh that you're actually in response to the concerns that there's an environmental racism dimension to this, which is, I know you know, is a term that critics have used. You're actually thinking you're going to reconsider this and there may be a different outcome. I just want to clarify if that's
right. I think we have to look and see what can be done. The problem we have is that in order to widen the roadway and be able to fit in, the bike lanes and things like that, that sometimes, unfortunately, the trees are in the way. When I say they're in the way, they're right where they need to be. And I want to just see if there's anything we can do here to be creative, to be able to preserve some of the trees. But if the project's to move forward, we can't preserve all the trees. And I understand what people are saying and feeling, but this project also is about public safety. This project's about making sure that, as I mentioned, one of the highest rates of crashes happen on the street. So it's also about making sure that the investment we'll make, it's an investment in the community, in Roxbury, in the South End, connecting both of those neighborhoods to the Boston Medical Center, to the highway. So all of this will be taken into account.
How concerned are you about predictions that in neighborhoods like Roxbury with a lot of open asphalt, the temperatures are going to hit 90 degrees most summer days in the foreseeable future due to climate change? How concerned are you about health safety, public safety, and the intersection with race? I know you declared racism a public health emergency earlier this summer.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm very concerned about it. I mean, one of the things that we've done here, we've taken a very aggressive position on the environment here in Boston. You know, we're one of the things we did in the very beginning was making sure that we're the first city on the East Coast to be within everyone within 10 minutes walk of a park in their neighborhoods, more green space, open space. We're demanding more open space and green space when it comes to any development that's happening in the city of Boston, in Roxbury, in Dorchester, in Mattapan, in all of those different neighborhoods. We have many parking lots and lots that are there. And as people think about maybe redesigning or building on these lots, we want to make sure that there's green space there. We have to do more and more of it. There's no question about it. I mean, we put a lot of plans forth, you know, Resilient Boston Harbor, reducing carbon emissions in the city of Boston, Climate Ready Boston. These are all programs that we're doing because of that reason.
So in our last couple of minutes, there is one other news of the day item I'd like to talk to you about. Last Friday, the Boston Globe took the Boston Police Department to task for resisting providing public information when public information requests happen. We've experienced that here at WBUR in the past. The ACLU is now suing the Boston Police Department for that. And I wonder, in a context of a conversation about police reform, you talked earlier about the killing of George Floyd earlier this summer. Do you have concerns about the trust effect between BPD and the community if there's this systemic resistance to providing information? What do you
think
about that?
One of the things that we have to do is look at the police department and look at their ability to turn the records around quickly. The amount of requests that the police department get on a daily basis, particularly in the last 4 months, are just really very, very high. The ACLU asked for information in June of this year, and the police department was working with them. And, you know, June to, I don't know the timeline, I think it's 4 or 5 weeks they're supposed to turn around, and they weren't able to turn around that quickly. And I mean, the lawsuit's pretty quick. I mean, it's a pretty fast lawsuit. But again, I'm not making excuses for the police department. That's something that we have to work with them on in making sure they have the proper staff to be able to turn these requests around. I mean, you know, during George Floyd, you know, they were getting 17, 18 public record requests a day, and these requests weren't simple. It's about gathering the data, gathering the information. So I think we have to support them with more people to be able to get this information turned around quickly. You know, when the press requests information, we should be as transparent as possible. We should get this information out as quickly as possible. That's something that my administration is very focused on, and that's what I want to do here. And I think that's, in some cases, it's lack of staff. I can't get into too much about the request that the ACLU gave and why that information wasn't all passed back.
Mayor Walsh, I appreciate you joining us today. Any parting thoughts in the last 15 seconds or so for listeners in Boston right now?
Yeah, I just want to make sure that people vote. You know, we received 80,000 mail-in ballot applications by the election department. 20,000 mail-in ballots have been returned. All mail-in ballots must be received by August 26th. So we want to make sure that if you want to vote, you can place your ballots in a drop box here at City Hall or any of the early vote locations. And also, there's a case today that's in front of the Supreme Court. Every vote counts, and I support that case in front of the Supreme Court.
Let you go. Sorry, Mayor Walsh. I'm going to run out of time in 10 seconds. That's Boston
Thank
Mayor
you.
Marty Walsh. Thank you so much.